Hello, hello. I am Karen Jean-Francois, and this is the Women in Data podcast, a podcast where every other week I interview some of the most inspiring women working in data. They discuss how data is used in various industries, share their knowledge and experience in the field, and equip you with tips to help you overcome challenges on your career and feel great. Let's get straight to it. When I go around that data event or when I speak with people on LinkedIn, the question I get the most often is, how do I land my first job in data? Very often the question is around data science or data analytics, but it's always the same thing. How do I start my career in data, either as a graduate or as someone who is trying to transition into the field? We've had a few episodes on career transitions. We've had a few episodes also on starting in data, but because this is a conversation that never gets old and everybody has a different path, I thought I would invite Pranjale Parse on the podcast to talk about her journey into starting her career in data. Hey, Pranjale.
Hello. Thank you so much for inviting me, Gavin.
It's a pleasure. And I have to say, you have such an incredible journey starting your career in data, which is like none I've seen before. So that's why I was really keen to chat about that on the podcast with you. And I can't wait to have this conversation. But before we jump into it, can I invite you to introduce yourself?
Oh, yeah, sure. Hello, everyone. I'm Pranjale Ajay Parse, and you can call me Pranjale. I'm currently working as a data scientist at Autodesk in their data products and insights team. And I was actually born and brought up in India and moved to the US for my master's in computer science with a concentration in data science from University of Massachusetts Amherst. So yeah, a little bit about my current role and responsibilities. I currently work in the data products and insights team, where my role comprises leveraging data, using lots and lots of data, performing exploratory data analysis, a lot of statistical tests to gain valuable insights that could be turned into valuable features or products. So yeah, that's all about me.
That sounds really fun, actually. I haven't been digging into data for a while, and I'm thinking, you know, when you're talking about your role, I'm thinking, oh, sounds fun. So as I said, we're going to be talking about how you landed your first job into data, your tips, and it's been quite different from other paths that I've seen before as well. Really keen to talk about that. So as you said, you come from India, you studied there, and while you were studying, actually, you were doing an internship in mobile app development, but then you started your career in data science. Tell me about that.
So yeah, I think when you're a fresher, like, it's obviously a wig, right? What are your interests? What do you basically want to start with? So I remember like I was seeing a lot of people kind of building apps. And that was actually very interesting. I was like, why not get started with that? So I completed my certification. It was an online certification, and started applying for internships in mobile app development. So I think my main aim was to try and explore different areas in computer science, because I was doing my undergrad in computer science. So yeah, I think that's why I started with mobile app development. I felt that building something from scratch, which a lot of people can use and utilize and make their experience better, I just felt that sounds pretty cool. So yeah, I think that's how I landed an intern in mobile app development. But the next semester, I actually took a few data science courses. Obviously, there was a major hype about data science, machine learning, using AI. So I was like, why not? Like, what is this hype about? Let me just kind of take a few courses and judge it by myself if I really like it or not. So I've tried a bunch of things. I've gone into robotics. I've gone into like machine learning. I've gone into IoT. So yeah, I think I've tried a lot of things, and I really love working with data and kind of like, I feel data is everywhere, right?
Yeah.
And I just feel you don't really need to be a data scientist to kind of leverage data and use data to gain insights from it. So I felt, okay, this is something which I am interested in. I want to actually pursue. And so yeah, I think that's how I landed and chose data science.
I can feel the passion and the curiosity in what you're saying. And it's incredible because when I started working in data, there was no hype around data science. So I just fell into it. And then the hype started after. So it's just incredible to see how, I want to call it marketing, all the marketing around data science actually provided these opportunities. Yeah.
So you have been the OG data scientist even before it got into the market.
That makes me feel a bit old, but yeah, this is exactly what happened. So it's absolutely incredible, you know, this opportunity to try different things as you are studying, so you can then go into the job market with your eyes open in terms of what it is you're trying to do. While when I went, I had absolutely no clue. For me, working in data meant working in credit risk analytics, and that was about it. And then I discovered after there was a whole world around that. So I love that now you can have the opportunity to try different things. Mm-hmm. But starting working in data science was not just your goal. You also wanted to have something purposeful to do. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
So I think my work at Autodesk and outside Autodesk intersects with my commitment to using AI for good. We have lots of pro bono initiatives at Autodesk, where I led the data science team while working with a nonprofit named Bridges to Prosperity, which is also called B2P. So a little bit about B2P. B2P is a nonprofit that works on building trail bridges that connects remote rural parts of Africa. So yeah, I think it was great, since we worked on evaluation of almost 65 RIT sites and performed a lot of data analysis on satellite images. So yeah, I think it just gave me a sense of purpose, and I try to always find opportunities to use my skills for the good.
All right. So basically, as a data scientist, not only you get to play with data, but you're also connecting people with places through satellite data.
And that feels amazing. Yeah.
So tell me about that job. So you did mention that someone shared the opportunity with you, but how did you actually land that first data science role, and what challenges did you face?
Oh yeah, for sure. So I think I was pursuing my master's in computer science with a concentration in data science. So I actually knew that my skills were definitely, I felt that I actually had to enhance them, like take a few courses to kind of land my first data science role. So I took a lot of courses, is what I would say. I started with statistics. I literally place an emphasis on this particular course because it's so, so important to know it if you want to get into data science. I remember when I was doing my undergrad, I actually did not do statistics, and I felt that, okay, I could become a data scientist without knowing statistics and math. But I feel when you're working with data, it's really important to know statistics probability. So I took a bunch of courses which involved statistics, machine learning basics, and exploratory data analysis. And I also learned how to code in Python. So I definitely knew it before I started my master's, but I kind of got better when I was trying to interview. So yeah, I think these were the 3 to 4 components that kind of helped me land my data science role. And fifth component, which is the most important component, is networking, is what I would say. Is networking with lots and lots of people. I think that's how we met. So I think it's incredible. Just meeting incredible people is definitely a crazy outcome of networking. So I suggest everybody to just network as much as they can to find opportunities.
Yeah, absolutely. So we definitely connected through Harpreet, who was saying, I have this amazing woman you need to meet for your podcast. And I was like, okay, send her my way. I could not agree more about the networking. And actually, just before this episode, so 2 weeks ago, we released an episode on networking where Cecilia, who is my co-host, and myself were sharing our best tips on networking. So if you haven't listened to it, I highly recommend. Yeah, so that's how you landed your job. So what you said is you actually went and learned about these things that you didn't know about. So the stats, you also leveraged your network. And then I'm guessing you applied for a few roles, or was it really through your network that you had roles coming to you?
I did apply for a lot of roles, is what I would say. Because I remember applying to a few roles and I got so many rejection emails, and I was like, shit, this is not what I wanted to start with when I was applying for different roles. And I just felt like, okay, even though I'm doing my master's, there's something that I'm lagging. But I just feel that a lot of people kind of get disheartened when they get rejection emails. But I feel I would say one part is luck. Second part is obviously a job fit. Something that you think might fit for you might not really from the other person's perspective. So yeah, I applied for a lot of jobs. I did not have any connections when I moved to the US. Obviously, I was moving from a very different country. Like I was moving from India to the US, so I didn't really know anybody. Yeah, I think I built everything from scratch, tried talking to people, tried going to career fairs, tried to going to networking events. I mean, even if you just like go for hanging out with a couple of friends, they know a few friends and, you know, they must be working in like a different company. So I think it's just networking is where I basically started with. And secondly, obviously applying to lots and lots of jobs. So yeah, I think I work at Autodesk and I had actually applied on the job portal via referral. And I do believe that if you actually are passionate about working in a certain company for a certain role, if you know anybody, or you can just connect with people on LinkedIn and they would be more than happy to refer you. So yeah, I think referrals definitely work and just apply as much as you can. I wouldn't say apply to irrelevant roles, but yeah, I think stay motivated. Don't lose your patience and everything will just land in the place that you want it to be in.
Yeah, I will second that. And when you were talking about the referrals, this is very important, right? So you were talking about the importance of having a network and being able to rely on that. And I'm thinking some of the barriers you said for getting a job, so getting all the rejection was around luck and job fit and all these things. But there are also loads of companies that are getting an incredible amount of applications. So I know we hired some data scientists a few months ago, and in just 2 days, we had something like 400 applications, which is crazy. And what that means is the hiring manager cannot go through 400 applications. So when you get all these rejection, it does not mean that, you know, you're not a good fit or something. Yes, potentially, but it can also mean that there are too many applications. And that's when the referral is very important, because what happens is that your CV, instead of being lost in a sea of CVs that everybody's having like red eyes looking at it, get put at the top of the pile. And most organizations are going to look at any CVs that was referred into. Just one thing in terms of referral from a hiring manager point of view, I would say get people to refer you that you already have some kind of relationship with, because it's just awkward to reach out to someone random and say, hey, I don't know you, refer me to that role.
Yeah,
it's definitely such a powerful tool. I agree. So that's how you got your job. Apart from all the rejections initially, what other challenges did you face?
I think, yeah, apart from all the rejections, I think definitely bettering my interview skills is what I would say. So I obviously started off with giving one interview and I realized that, oh, you know, these are the things that I really need to work on. Because I think knowing data science is one thing, but presenting and being able to perform under pressure when you're being interviewed is another skill on its own. So there's this website called PRAMP. It's called PRAMP. And you basically get like free mock interview sessions in there. So I used to make sure that I do one mock interview session every week. And it was basically free and you get matched with somebody who is of your caliber and you interview them for half an hour and they interview for half an hour. And at the end, they give you feedback, which is kind of very helpful. So every week I used to make sure that whatever I did in the previous interview, I did not repeat the same in the next interview. And I think that has helped me in bettering my interview skills. So that is one of the challenges which I would definitely say, like being able to communicate, being able to perform under pressure during the interview is, yeah, I think it's a major challenge, which a lot of people face.
Yeah, I can relate to that, especially when you're starting, you haven't worked in the industry before and you just have no clue what people are going to ask you in interviews. Yeah, that's a really good tip, definitely. So prepping the interview with someone who can give you feedback. And that means when you go, I guess it's a bit less scary because you've practiced your answers and had feedback. So you've gone through all of these. You looked for your job, improved your, well, really worked on your network, had your referrals in, you landed your job. But is there anything that you feel like you would have wanted to do differently?
Maybe applying for a lot more jobs is one thing I would say, or maybe networking as much as I could. So I remember I was supposed to come for my master's during 2020 fall, but COVID happened. COVID has its own plans. So I had to defer my admission to coming in spring 2020. So I couldn't have done anything differently, but I just feel that I could have prepared better. So before coming for my master's, I started applying for jobs myself in India itself. And that was definitely a challenge because when I was actually submitting my application details, they were like, are you still situated in India? We want somebody who would be in the US for better communication. And okay. I said that I would actually be coming in Jan. So it's just like a few months away. So that's something which I think which kind of was different for me. And I remember a lot of applications got rejected because I gave my Indian phone number. So I could have literally just maybe try reaching out to my friends who stay in the US and given their phone number. So, you know, I could have at least had a better chance in getting more acceptance. And second, I think a lot of people kind of neglect applying with a cover letter. And I feel cover letters make a huge difference. They are like statement of purpose for your job application. And since we have ChatGPT now, I don't think it should be that difficult to like have a cover letter. I remember I had to like sit for 2 days to write my cover letter and draft it and get it reviewed. But yeah, I think this is not sponsored, but yeah, like use ChatGPT for sure if you want to kind of apply for jobs.
I have to say, I love that you're saying that. I am very guilty of not having ever written a cover letter in my life. But it's just, you know, the market is so different than it used to be 15 years ago. So before it was so many jobs and so few applicants. And now when you just start, there's so many more applicants than there used to be. So
insane. Yeah.
Yeah. Differentiating yourself is very important. So we talked a bit about your internship as a mobile app developer, but you also did quite a few internships. Do you feel like this also added to you getting a job, or what did you learn while doing your internships?
Well, yeah, I think 100%, because like I had come without any experience. I did not have any work experience, so I would basically be termed as a fresher. So these internships definitely gave me an edge. Like it definitely helped me stand out in a pool of applicants because I had good amount of internship experience, which kind of helped me land my first internship in the US. And that basically got converted to a full-time offer. And here I am working as a data scientist. Yeah, they have definitely helped me. I think specifically working in data science field has definitely given me an edge over other applicants. And I remember when I was just talking to my friends and I was like, okay, you guys are about to start your internships in like a couple of days. Is there like, are you guys scared? And they were just telling me that they had never, ever like worked in an internship before. So it was scary. And I actually saw them facing a lot of difficulties during the internship, like just setting up your PC. Like it just spoke all of those basic things, I suppose. And since we were doing it remotely, and I think these days after COVID, like post-COVID, a lot of things have become hybrid. A lot of jobs have become hybrid and remote. So yeah, I think just working remotely, being able to do things independently without taking a lot of guidance from people is something that I learned during my internships. So yeah, but that definitely helped me in the future.
Yeah, I was laughing at your friends struggling to set up their computers. I'm thinking that will be me. When we were in the office, I would just go and sit next to IT and be like, can you please help me set up my machine? And now I have to do it myself.
Oh, yeah.
And you're doing quite a bit to contribute to the community as well. So yes, you've done the internship that helped you in your role, well, to get your role, but also to feel a bit more confident when you start a new job. But in terms of the community, can you tell us a bit more about what it is you're doing there?
Well, yeah, like I mentioned, networking is so important. So I try to network as much as possible. I have been participating in panel discussions, hosting workshops, participating as a speaker so that whatever I know, I kind of want to educate people. And I think take on more leadership roles as much as I can. Like currently, I'm working as a Women in Data Science Ambassador in the US, which is an initiative by Stanford University. So, and I think in addition to that, I'm also an active peer reviewer and a researcher for societies like ACL, like it's basically called as Association for Computational Linguistics. Mentorship is another thing which I really placed an emphasis on. When I was doing my job, I remember I had an incredible mentor who had supported me throughout. So yeah, right now I just feel a lot of people have helped me during my journey, so I want to give it back. So I work as a mentor and a career advisor on TopMate as well, and try to educate people in the domain that I have expertise in.
That's incredible. I actually did not know you could be a PR reviewer outside of your job. So this is an incredible tip. And so we talked a bit about how you landed your job in data science. We talked about the internships and you shared already quite a few good advice. So for example, having the referral, you talked a lot about how you improved your interview skills by doing mock-up interviews. But do you have any other advice that people could benefit from in terms of landing their first job in data science?
Yeah, I think if you want to land a job in data science, like I could just talk about the six to seven components that you would be interviewed on in a data science interview. So first, like I mentioned, is statistics and probability. Second is having a little bit of machine learning basics. Third would be just case study analysis. Like they would just give you a scenario and ask you to analyze that scenario and how would you approach it as a data scientist. Fourth, I think would be SQL. Like just SQL querying, they'd give you like a small data set and ask you to write some complex and simple queries. Fifth one would be just lead coding, which is data structures and algorithms. And I think sixth one would be giving you a data set and performing exploratory data analysis. And I think in every job, irrespective of it being a data science or any other field, behavioral is a must. So I think these are the seven components which I feel everybody should be focusing on when they're trying to land their first job in data science.
Yeah, I'm listening to you and I'm thinking, gosh, I'm so happy this is behind me. I remember sweating. Oh gosh, I remember sweating ahead of interviews, having to do live coding and things like that on pen and paper also. I'm guessing now because most of the stuff are virtual, you don't get the pen and paper thing, but writing SQL query on pen and paper is painful.
Oh my God, I cannot imagine writing, because I remember we used to have like, after COVID, we did not have any on-site interviews. It was mostly remote. So that is why it was mostly typing or like, yeah. And on top of that, you do not basically get any query editor. So you don't really know if your query is right or wrong. And there are times when you actually forget the syntax as well. So yeah, I think just being on top of all of these would help.
Yeah. And the more you do it, the more comfortable you get anyway.
Yes, so that is true. That's true. Yeah.
To close the episode, I would love to know what it is that you're learning or are interested in learning at the moment.
So like I mentioned, I always kind of want to use my skills for the good. So I always try to participate as a pro bono consultant in pro bono initiatives. But on top of that, since I'm currently working as a data scientist too, I really in the future want to take on more leadership roles. I do want to lead some projects and work independently on the projects, because I feel that as a data scientist, I'm able to apply my data science skills to work on different projects. But I also want to be able to communicate that to the stakeholders. So yeah, I think for that, I really am trying to improve my communication skills, my leadership skills. I also enrolled in a coursework, which was mostly an MBA non-degree coursework, which kind of helps me network with people, communicate with people, and try to understand what are the things that I need to improve on. And if you always are a little unsure of what you want, definitely just talk to your manager, because they are the ones who want to understand and help you throughout your career. So just talking to my manager helped me understand what are the things that I want and what are the things that I don't want.
That's amazing. And that's definitely what you would want to be doing with your manager. Yeah. Thank you so much for joining me on the podcast. It was a pleasure chatting with you.
Thank you so much for having me, Karen. Yeah.
Thank you for listening to the Women in Data podcast. We will be back in a couple of weeks with a new guest. Until then, if you have 2 minutes, it would be great if you could leave us a rating or a review, as it helps not only to make the podcast more visible, but also to enhance the content. If you don't want to miss the next episode, follow us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. We are also on LinkedIn. And if you wish to, you can even register to the community for free. All you have to do is head to womenindata.co.uk. Have a great day.